Now this morning I have a message that really God has taught me over many, many, many years. And just coming here on the airplane, I was working on a book that I'm writing about faith. And suddenly something just clicked to be more clear in my own mind. Just like, Pastor, you're saying, you know, I'll say a scripture and you'll say, duh, it was there all the time. Well, God did one of those moments to me where like suddenly it just became so clear. And anything can happen in this service this morning. Now, while I'm preaching, I expect God to heal people physically. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit, you could be filled with the Holy Spirit this morning. You may need a financial miracle. I don't know. There's all kinds of things you may need. But I just believe God is going to be putting faith in your heart to receive this morning. And telling you how to get faith for the rest of your life. Let's all stand as we pray over the message then. I want you to really anticipate something wonderful coming from God. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands up and ask Him to teach us how to have a dynamic relationship with Him and how to have dynamic, miracle-working faith. Oh, dear Lord, we ask in the wonderful name of Jesus that You would teach us how to intimately know You, hear Your voice, how faith comes, how it's released, that we might bring You massive glory and not waste perfectly good problems and not live in a doubt, pout, and go without mindset. I ask You to just take me over and speak to me this morning. And I pray that You'll greatly reveal Yourself to us, Your nature, the way things work in the spiritual realm, so that massive amounts of faith arise in our hearts. We know You said if just a faith the size of a grain of a mustard seed could do tremendous miracles. Well then, Lord, we just want to have You do something that'll affect the whole world through what You do here this morning for Your glory and honor. Affect our individual world and help us then to be world changers. Thank You, Lord. Now surround us with an angelic guard so nothing can hinder. And I pray that You'll put ministering angels beside each of us to help us receive Your word, understand it, retain it, and coach us in the application. We vow to give You the glory in Jesus' name. Everybody said a good amen. Well, squeeze somebody's hand. Let them know you care about them before you're seated. All right, we're brothers and sisters. We're in a family. By the way, it's an honor to have the children in the service, boys and girls, young people, if you're here. I'm not going to be preaching over your head to the adults. I'm going to be preaching right to you. I expect you to drink it in your heart and put it into practice more than all the adults, okay? Because you got your whole lifetime to put it into practice. All right, now God is going to be communicating to all of us through the message, and Jesus really likes children, okay? I want to speak to you this morning on the subject, what I know about faith. What I know about faith. I've noticed that there's a building anxiety in our world. We hear all the time about economic worries. We hear about global warming, weather disasters, terrorism, higher taxes. Nations like Pakistan coming unraveled that have the nuclear bomb. China growing in superiority to challenge the world leadership of America. And there's just no lack of world problems. And besides all of that, we have the personal problems that come into our lives. I read in the Reader's Digest of a lady that had three little twin girls and they were born prematurely. So the premature birth made them go blind and then some medicine made them go deaf. And then her husband left her. And I thought, I don't want to trade my problems for hers. How many of you ever think your problem's pretty bad till you see somebody else's problem? And then you think, well, I'll keep my own. So there's all kinds of reasons to worry, to fret, to be anxious, to doubt, to be sad. But what gives us peace and victory is not the absence of problems, but the absence of unbelief. What gives us great peace and victory is not the presence of external security, like the presence of a bunch of money in the bank or a Swiss bank account or stocks or bonds or gold or food stored away somewhere. It's not the presence of those things that gives us security. It's the presence of God in our own hearts, indwelling us, and His presence around us. Hallelujah. Now, everything's okay if you have faith in God. In other words, don't get to thinking, well, it'd be okay if somehow we could pay off the federal deficit. You know, it'd be okay if a certain person got elected. Jesus said, have faith in God. I tell you, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. It means God will do it. You give the order, and God will make it happen. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer, believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. Now, we read in the Bible in the faith chapter of the Hall of Fame of Faith, Hebrews 11. By faith, Noah, being warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. You see, he was going to have an external problem of the whole world getting destroyed, but everything was okay because he had faith in God and he was able to receive the miracle. Or we read about Abraham, although he was past age and Sarah herself was barren, was enabled to become a father because he considered him faithful who had made his promise. He was able to receive a physical miracle and him and his wife have children, even though he was 100 and she was 90, something like that. Everything was okay because there was faith. That's what I want to get across in my introduction. Everything will be okay if we have faith in God. God's kingdom's not in debt. There aren't any shortages in His kingdom. And if we're in Christ, we've been born into His kingdom, and we're relying on resources that never run out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The Bible says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. And although the army of the Pharaoh was coming after them, the Egyptian tried to do so and they were drowned. Everything was okay because why? There was faith in God. Everything will be okay for you if you have real faith, active faith that receives, not professing faith. You say, oh, I have faith in God. I know He could do it if He wants to. That's not faith. Faith is knowing what God wants to do, knowing absolutely. Not, well, he could if he wants to. That's not knowing God. Knowing God is, he absolutely wants to, and I'm going to receive. Hallelujah. That's the kind of faith I'm talking about. A lot of people think they have faith, but they really don't have much faith. But when we have faith, the Bible says, what more shall I say? I don't have time to tell about Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised. Who shut the mouths of lions, quenched the fury of the flames, and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, and who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. Others were tortured and released refused to be released so that they might gain a better resurrection. In other words, even though the persecution was fierce, when they had faith, it was turned to victory. Whether they were delivered in the fiery furnace or whether they were not delivered. Like the Hebrews said, King, we want you to know our God is able to deliver us and He will deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we won't bow down and worship your image of gold. That's faith. Everything's okay when there's faith. So if you're anxious, if there's fear in your heart, if there's just this low, troubling worry going on, say to yourself, everything will be okay if I have faith in God. And then I want to show you how to get that faith and how to release that faith. But first of all, you just got to realize if you've got the real thing, everything will be okay. Say it out loud. If I have the real thing, everything will be okay. Now, here's the great revelation this morning. I want to tell you how faith comes. Faith comes when God's will is revealed. You've heard the Bible verse. Now, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the voice of God. The Greek word is rhema. It means the present tense speaking of God. And so I used to think that, you know, I had to hear God speak in order to get faith. And whenever God did speak to me, I always had spectacular supernatural faith. But what God has really shown me is the reason faith comes when God speaks is because that's a revelation of His will. And then you know His will. Now, He doesn't always have to speak in a voice to have you have faith. You just have to somehow know His will. And you can get it through reading the Bible until you become convinced in your spirit. Absolutely, that's what God will do if I ask Him. God would like to do that. Because why? You know God. When you know God, you get to know His will. And when you know His will, you have faith. Hallelujah. Now, Peter, Jesus, you know, fed the 5,000, put the disciples in a boat, told them to cross the lake. He went up on a hill to pray, and they rowed all night, you know, and the fourth watch of the night, they're still rowing against the contrary wind, and Jesus comes walking to them on the water. They thought it was a ghost. He said, no, it's me. And Peter yelled out, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Now, this is an important concept of faith. Peter couldn't say, wow, Jesus is walking on the water. I guess I'll walk on the water. If he'd have stepped out, he'd have sunk. He couldn't walk on the water till God's will was revealed through the words of Jesus. You see, if it wasn't God, if Jesus didn't say, come, he couldn't have stepped out and walked on the water. You know the story how Jesus said, come. And why was Peter enabled to get out and walk on the water? Because it was a revelation of God's will. God's will was given right then that, yeah, I want you to walk on the water with me. Come on. And that's why he was able to walk on the water. Now, you'd be able to walk on the water just as well if Jesus said to you, come. Because you'd be given a revelation of God's will, and that's what produces faith. Now, some people could hear a revelation of God's will and still not get faith because they want to be stubborn and they prefer to doubt, pout, and go without. The early Hebrews, when God said, I'm going to give you the land of Canaan, and they said, no, we're going to die in the desert. No, God isn't able to do it. When God speaks and reveals His will, it's like faith is delivered to you on a platter. It's right there for you to take. You have to try hard not to have faith. It's possible. If you want to be a doubt, pout, and go without her. All right? But I never found it any trouble at all to have faith when God reveals His will. I heard a story one time when I traveled and I stayed with a rancher in Idaho on the Snake River. And his cows had gotten sick. 200 feeder steers or feeder calves. And they got sick and they were breathing bloody froth out of their nostrils. They're bad. And the veterinarian came out and he said, well, I'll vaccinate these, but these 20, they're going to die no matter what I do. And this one that's been down on the ground for 3 days and hasn't got up to drink, he's a goner. And these 20 are a goner. So one was down on the ground for 3 days, hadn't moved. And the guy said, I can't afford to lose 20 cows. I'll go broke. That's my profit margin. Called the pastor. Pastor, come over and pray. We've got to have a miracle. Jesus has got to heal my cows or I'm going to go broke. Now, the veterinarian has said these cows are going to die. And as the pastor and the rancher laid hands on the fence, the power of God fell, hit the cows. They threw their tails up in the air, ran to the feed trough. And there was a hired man that said, if that one gets healed that's laying down on the ground, hasn't moved for 3 days, I'll become a believer. They thought that cow was dead. They thought that cow was dead. I don't know if it was dead, but I know it jumped up and ran with the rest of them and was instantly healed. Now, for years, I thought, oh, I wish I could have faith. I wish I could have faith like that pastor from that little church in Idaho. I wish I could have faith like that rancher. You know why they could have faith like that? Because as they got ready to believe God, there must have been given to them a revelation of God's will. Yes, I want to do this thing. And when you have a revelation of God's will, it's not hard to have spectacular faith. It's not hard to be like Elijah. It's not hard to be like Moses. It isn't. The reason anybody can do miracles and have tremendous faith is because they have a revelation of God's will. When God sent an angel to speak to Paul, they were in a hurricane force wind for 2 weeks. All hope was given up that they would be saved, but the angel said, you're going to run aground on an island, just the ship's going to be destroyed. God's going to save everybody sailing with you. Paul got up and said, "Men, be of good courage. Last night an angel of the God I serve and belong to appeared to me and told me, not one of you is going to die, just the ship's going to be destroyed. Now keep up your courage. I have faith in God that it'll turn out just as He told me." Why was Paul able to have such great faith? Because he got a great revelation of God's will. It's not hard to have faith when you get a revelation of God's will. It's easy. You'd have to try to have unbelief. You'd have to try really hard. Hallelujah. Let's lift our hands and praise God. Everything's okay when we have faith, and faith comes when God reveals His will. That's why the Bible says in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God. This is the confidence we have. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. You ask anything according to His will, He hears you. And the Bible says, and we know that if He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of Him. Faith comes when God reveals His will, when you know it. Now, if you think maybe it could be His will, you're not quite into faith, but you're bordering on it. You're almost there. I had terribly flat feet, and my feet were so flat that I had to they inflamed. The muscles of my feet, bottoms of my feet would inflame. And when I'd walk across a carpeted floor, my feet would pop like popcorn as the bones would come out of joint. And in the summer, anything hot would make my feet ache and hurt, and it would just be writhing, terrible pain. So whenever I took a shower, I'd put all the ice cubes from the refrigerator into the bathtub and stand in the ice water. So nothing warm or hot would hit my feet. I didn't dare let a car heater blow on my feet. I slept with the covers off, with my feet bare every night so they wouldn't get warm underneath the covers. I didn't dare swim in a heated swimming pool. Even that much heat made my feet hurt. And after years of seeing God do miracles for me, one day I was a senior pastor. I'd been in the ministry about 9 to 10 years. I'd seen a lot of things, good things. And I said to God, "I think You probably want to heal my feet." I said, "You're so good that I think You probably want to heal my feet. But I think my unbelief is hindering You. And I'm so sorry." And for a year, every day, I asked God to forgive me and cleanse me for unbelief. Now, I didn't quite have faith, but I was bordering on it. Because I started to say, "You're so good, You probably want to do it." Say that out loud. "You're so good, You probably want to do it." You're getting close to faith. Now, you're not totally sure of God's will, but you're getting to know Him. See, you're getting to know Him. He's good. He said He gives good gifts to His children. Jesus said, "If you know how to give good to your kids, how much more will your Heavenly Father give good gifts to those who ask Him?" He's a good God. He likes to give good gifts. And when you know His will, you can receive. Praise God. So, I ended up getting arches in my feet. Hallelujah. God bent my feet one night, put arches in them, and I was able to go to Disney World and carry my 40-pound daughter around on concrete for 3 days without any foot problems. Hallelujah. That's why Paul said in Colossians 1:9, "For this reason, since the day we've heard about you, we've not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Why did Paul pray so much that they'd be filled with the knowledge of His will? Because he knew they'd have supernatural faith. That's one of the greatest prayers you could pray for yourself or for your kids. Oh God, fill us with the knowledge of Your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Why? Because that's how faith comes. Now, faith is released when we speak or act. Faith comes when God speaks. It's released when we speak. Faith does not come when you speak. It comes when God speaks. But when God speaks and you receive the faith, you have to release the faith to activate it. And that's where your speaking comes in. Romans 10:10 says, "For with the heart, it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it's with your mouth that you confess and are saved." That's how you get saved. That's how you keep from going to hell. You believe the Word of God, and then with your mouth you ask Jesus to come into your heart and take over your life and receive Him. Hallelujah. Any miracle is that way. You believe in your heart, and you release the faith through your mouth or corresponding actions. That's why Jesus said in Matthew, at Mark 11, 22 through 24, have faith in God. You got to start with faith in God, and then he's how to release it. Therefore, I say unto you, anyone who says to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and doesn't doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it'll be done for him. Now, the only way you can believe in your heart without any doubt is to have a full revelation of God's will. And then when you have that full revelation of God's will, you can literally say to a mountain, be removed and cast into the sea. And God will do it for you. But that's talking about the release of faith, not how to get faith. And some people get, if I just go around confessing everything, it'll produce faith. It'll make it happen. But I want to tell you, see, and then it gets a derision and it causes bad things to happen when people try to name it and claim it. And in Assembly of God circles, that's kind of been mocked, name it and claim it. But I tell people, oh, you just get God to name it and then you claim it. And that's how it works. If you go naming it, you're trying to originate faith by yourself. And that'll be a phony fool's gold faith. That won't really work. But when God names it, you claim it immediately. You can claim what he names. So I want to tell you some experiences I've had with faith. Working in a veneer mill, a man injured his wrist. He was off 2 weeks. Came back with a big white bandage on his wrist and injured his other wrist. He was trying to pull veneer with one hand, which you cannot do. Veneer is what you make plywood out of. It's big sheets of wood that are thin. They come down a fast-moving conveyor belt, and you got to fling them into carts. He said, I'm in trouble. I've injured my other wrist like this one. It took 2 weeks off to get healed. And now I've injured my other one, and I took 2 weeks off without pay. If I take another 2 weeks off, I'm going to go broke. If I pull with one hand, I'm going to be fired. I'm really in trouble. And suddenly from inside of me, the voice of God spoke and said, go tell that man everything you know about divine healing. So in between the logs was about a minute pause. I was only 22 years of age, just out of Bible college. And I'd run up there and tell him every Bible verse, every story, every testimony I'd ever heard about divine healing as fast as I could tell, and then run back and pull the wood. You know, I'd only have about a minute, and then we'd run that log for a couple of minutes. Then there'd be another break while they loaded in another log. And this went on for 2 hours. I was doing what God told me. You know, he said, tell him everything you know about divine healing. Good thing I didn't have to preach too long because I didn't know that much. I'd only give him a minute at a time. Then I'd think of every story, you know. But 2 hours went by and suddenly this voice said from within me, how long are you going to let that man suffer? Now, God didn't say it's my will to heal that man. But he revealed his will to me when he said, how long are you going to let him suffer? How many of you could get a clue that God wants to heal the man when God said, go tell him everything you know about divine healing, and then says, how long are you going to let him suffer? Now, knowing the will of God then, I went up to this Oregon sinner. Oregon sinners are usually obviously looking like sinners. You know, West Coast sinners just kind of look like sinners. And I went up to this big Oregon sinner and I said, Larry, I believe God wants me to pray for your wrist to be healed. And he said, well, a good prayer never hurt nothing. And I put my hand on his wrist because you see, even if God delivers faith to you, you have to release faith through your words or corresponding actions. So faith was being come to me when God said, go tell him everything you know about divine healing. How long are you going to let him suffer? Faith was delivered to me. Now, I had to release the faith when I actually went up to the man and said, God wants me to pray for you to be healed. And then I asked God to heal it. I put my hand on his wrist and said, oh, Father, fix this wrist in Jesus' name. That's all I said. The wood was coming down. I had to go pull veneer. I didn't get to pray a long, flowery prayer. And the devil said, you stupid idiot, you didn't have enough faith for him to be healed. Now, he'll never be healed, and he'll think Christianity's a big bunch of junk. It's all your fault. And I just pulled veneer for about 2 hours, and then I peeked up there, and he was pulling it with both hands. I said, Larry, what happened? He said, I feel an invisible bandage on my wrist. It's just like the one the doctor put on. I can feel it, but I can't see it. And all the pain's almost all gone. And I'm amazed. And I said, would you come to church with me? He said, I sure will. And he gave his heart to Jesus that next Sunday. Hallelujah. Now, I got faith for that because God revealed his will. And then I had to release it. Then I got to be a bus captain, and I got to bring in kids, you know. And one day I heard Tommy Barnett preach at the Oregon Sunday School Convention. Oh, I got so stirred up that we could do something great for God and win a lot of souls. And I went out to my car on a break, and I said, oh, dear Jesus, dear God, what could we do in 1 month on our buses? How many kids could we bring in a month from today if we pulled out all the stops? And God spoke to me. His Spirit spoke to me and said, you could have 300 more. I thought, 300 more? How many would have to ride on this bus and that bus? And I sat down with a piece of paper and I just said, well, to have 300, we have this bus would have to bring in 60. This bus would have to bring in so many, so many, so many. And I'd, even if I filled those buses to capacity, I'd have to have two more bus routes. And I figured out how much they would have to bring, and I had it all figured out. I went back into the convention, and Tommy Barnett was closing the service, and he said, there's three men here, and God has told you something to do. I want you to come forward and confess it. And I was the first one forward. My pastor had his eyes closed, but he knew I was going forward. And I got up there and I said, I'm going to go home. It was Thursday night. I said, I'm going to go home and start two new bus routes by Sunday, before Sunday. And in 1 month, we're going to have 300 more on the buses. Now that I was naming it and claiming it. God named it. I was claiming it. See, because God said 300 more. Now, God delivers the faith to you on a platter. You have to take it and then you have to release it. That's where your speaking comes in. That's when you command the mountain to move. You have to release that faith. But just release what God has given to you. Don't. If I'd have said we're going to have 500 more on the buses, I'd have missed it. I had to say what God said. He said, we're going to have 300 more. Oh, and then we worked. We had several bus promotions, and every week we built up. And I told the church, I said, God said we're going to have 300 more. Everybody got electrified. People began to build bleachers up the walls of the classroom because we realized we'd get 300 more. We had a church of 200 drive-in people, and we were bringing in 200 kids already. And God said we could have 500 kids in 30 days. Everybody swung into action. Everybody believed the word. Everybody got into action. And the last day was Pumpkin Sunday. The last Sunday was the day we gave pumpkins away near Halloween. Everybody that came, all the kids are going to get a free pumpkin. I got a 70-pound pumpkin, mounted a rubber tire on top of my car roof, and put the 70-pound pumpkin in the tire. And I drove around showing all the kids that if they brought the most visitors, they'd get that 70-pound pumpkin. We had 535 kids ride the buses that day and had more than 300 more than we'd ever had before. And we kept them. We were the fastest growing church in Oregon that year. 278 per Sunday increase over the previous year. Now that was a great faith, see, a great faith experience. Because God revealed his will to me. You can have 300 more. And he named it and I claimed it. Say that out loud. He named it. I claimed it. Say it again. Now that's how it works. And then, you know, I had gotten into the ministry I worked for $1,000 a month at a veneer mill. And I thought, you know, if I could get a split shift and work 25 hours a week, I'd get 500 from the mill. And if the church would give me $100, I could work part time for the church. Now, God didn't speak to me and say anything about that. I just had an internal feeling that I was supposed to go into the ministry, an internal desire, and I felt like this idea came to me that that would be a way the church could accept because they knew they didn't have enough money to hire me, but I could start working part-time. And so I asked the mill if they'd give me a split shift. Now, never before or never afterwards did they ever allow anybody to split a shift, but they did for me that one time. And that's how I got into the ministry. And then after 6 months of doing that, I said to the pastor, if you'll give me $400 a month, I'll work full time for you. Now, all that was faith based on the knowledge of God's will, but I didn't hear the voice of God speaking. I just had an internal knowing. And that's why in the book of Philippians, it says that God lives in you to will and to act according to his good pleasure. So sometimes the knowledge of his will is not a voice that speaks. Many times it's just an inner witness of the Holy Spirit where you're just sensing God's will. And if you act on it, the miracle will happen. And then the church gave me a raise to 500 and a raise to 600. And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me one day and said, if I can do all this for you, why can't I give you a house? And when you only make $600 a month, you don't think about buying a house. I had a little trailer house that we had bought. But God said, why can't I give you a house? So once you hear God, you got to act on it. I began to look. I was looking for houses. But I couldn't find anything that I could afford, but I still was convinced God was going to give me a house. So one night in a prayer meeting, I lifted my hands and I was praising God. He was going to use me in the gifts of the Spirit. And suddenly boomed out of the inside of me. This booming voice from right inside my chest. You know, you think of God being way out here, but he lives inside of us. And he said, you're going to be moving in right across the street and money's not going to be any problem. It was such a booming revelation. It was the knowledge of God's will delivered to me on a silver platter. And, I just took it and I ran to the window and I was so excited and I had faith loaded in my heart because he showed me his specific will. And I said, I'm going to be moving in right over there and money's not going to be any problem. Now, he named it. I claimed it. Hallelujah. See, that's when it works. And everybody came around and said, you can't get that house. You don't make enough money. That house is not for sale. When it was for sale, Gene tried to buy it. He makes more money than you. He couldn't get a loan. Everybody was poo-pooing it. That didn't slow me down a bit. I couldn't wait till the next day. I knocked on that lady's door and said, lady, God wants me to buy your house. That's a funny way to answer the door. Sees this young guy. I had all my hair in those days, and I was grinning ear to ear. Lady, God wants me to buy your house. Is it for sale? She said, we're thinking about selling it. Would you like to see it? She showed me all around. It was a two-bedroom house with a three-car detached garage, a couple little outbuildings on three-quarters of an acre surrounded by a privacy hedge of cedar trees. She said, we'll sell it for $22,000. This was 1975. I said, I'll take it. She said, what can you put down for earnest money? I said, well, I have a trailer house that I can sell. Right now, all I have is $50, and I can put my trailer house up for sale and use that as a down payment. She says, well, let's write up an earnest money then. And I tied up that property with a $50 bill. Now, remember, God said, you're going to be moving in right over there. Money's not going to be any problem. So I put the trailer house up for sale for the same amount that I bought it for, and it would not sell for 3 months. It would not sell. She called me on the phone. She said, I can't keep this house off the market much longer. You've got to do something. I can't keep it off the market just for $50. You've got to do something. The devil said, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. But I had faith because God had named it, right? I had faith because he'd revealed his will. I knew it was going to work. The devil said, it's not going to work. I said, you lying devil. God said, it's the money's not going to be any problem. I raised the price of my trailer house, $500, and it sold instantly. God knew I needed a little more money in the closing. I needed more money. He didn't let it sell for the cheap. Why? Because he's faithful to his word. By then, I got a raise to $700 a month, and a banker loaned me the money. We got the house, lived in it 5 years, and sold it. For double the money. Sold it for $50,000. More than double. Now those are some of my early experiences of faith. But I was thinking, you know, faith came because God spoke. But many of the miracles in my life, I didn't hear God speak. I just had a knowledge of his will that came from reading his word. For instance, we'd been married 6 years and I was assuming we'd have children. But we couldn't conceive a child. And the devil just kept saying, you're going to have to give up on that. You're going to have to give up on that. It's in the Bible, but it isn't going to work for you. And since it doesn't work for you, you have no right to preach the Bible. He's a mean, ornery devil, by the way. And I had to decide. I had one verse. Thus shall the man be blessed that fears the Lord. His wife will be like a fruitful vine within his house and his children like olive plants around his table. But for some reason, it wasn't happening. So I decided I'd find every verse in the Bible on kids. And I began to search. Sometimes you got to go get the faith. See, a lot of people miss it because they don't have the faith and they're asking God. They're trying to name it and they're trying to claim it. but he hasn't named it. They don't have any faith. They're just hoping he'll do something. But I went after the faith. Because if you get the faith, it's easy to release it. And I found all these verses on kids, and I found one that said, you will be made abundantly prosperous. If you obey the Lord, you'll be made abundantly prosperous in the fruit of your womb. And then a bunch of other ways. First of all, in the fruit of your womb. And then God said, go tell three people you know you and Bonnie are going to have your own child. Why? Because faith has to be released. Many times it has to be released through the mouth or corresponding action. I got three witnesses. I told three people. Sure enough, we've had two lovely children, and I have two beautiful, we have two daughters, and I have two grandsons. Now, faith came through the knowledge of His will. Why? Because I searched the Bible really hard to find out His will. And then I had to release the faith. Now, if God doesn't name it, you cannot claim it. And this verse is very important. Lamentations 3:37 says, who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? I'm going to quote that and you repeat it after me. Who can speak and have it happen if the Lord has not decreed it? Now listen carefully to me. Some people get prideful of their faith, arrogant about faith. And if you get prideful that you have faith, you don't have real faith. You just fooled yourself. You're just a phony. I don't care if you go to the Faith University and have every book from Mr. Faith himself. I don't care if you listen to faith tapes, faith CDs all week long. If you get prideful about your faith, you got the opposite of faith. Faith is a humble dependency upon God that knows it can't do anything apart from God. Jesus said, I don't do anything apart from Him. I only do what the Father shows me. There's arrogant people that get to thinking they know just exactly how to manipulate God, because if they think, if I confess it and I do this and that and I have these certain formulas, all these things will happen. That's a bunch of nonsense. He has to name it, then you claim it. Who can speak and have it happen? Lamentations 3:37. Come on, pull with me in the Spirit. Listen to me. That keeps us humble. That keeps us depending on God, not unplugging our faith and going out and trying to be men and women of faith without checking in with the Father. I'm going to have to amen myself. Amen, Brother Wes. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let's lift our hands and just praise Him for a moment. We can't get proud over faith. But see, I thought, oh man, I'm a man of faith now. I had had 300. God gave me 300 more on the buses. God told me, you know, you're going to get the house. Money's not going to be a problem. And I know how to confess it. I know how to release faith. See? So one day, we were bringing in about 600 on the buses. And I planned a big promotion several weeks ahead where we were going to have 1,000 on the buses. And I asked God for 1,000, and I publicly said, folks, we're going to have 1,000 on the buses. And I did all, I pulled all the right levers. I did all the faith confessions, everything I thought I was supposed to do. It's just that I hadn't heard God say, I'll give you 1,000 on the buses. So we had the promotions, we did everything we could possibly do, and we brought in 800 on the buses to a little town of 80 people. Goshen, Oregon only had 80 people in the whole town. We brought in 800 on buses. There were 200 and some drive-in crowd, maybe 300 by that time. So we went over 1,000 in that little bitty town. But we didn't hit 1,000 on the buses. Now I tried to claim it, but He hadn't named it. And why? Wouldn't it be His will for us to have more kids? Well, you know, when you bring in 800 kids to a church that only can handle a couple hundred to begin with. We built bleachers up the walls. We stacked kids up the walls everywhere. We had an usher in the bathroom to make sure five little boys used the toilet before they flushed it, because so many kids were flushing the toilet it was blowing the lids off the septic tanks. God probably knew that an additional 200 would have overwhelmed the staff. We might have lost some kid or had some accident happen. See? So I wondered then, now why was I able to name it, and we got 300 more,
But when it came time to get 1,000 on the buses, I couldn't make it happen because simply God hadn't named it. Now that keeps us humble in our faith, but also gives us encouragement that everything will be all right, because all we really need to know is a revelation of God's will. If we can get God to reveal His good will, praise God, it doesn't matter how big the mountain is. It doesn't matter whether the whole earth is coming to an end. Whether, hallelujah, Noah got through it. Why? Because he had a revelation of God's will. Let's lift our hands and praise God. That's what we need. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And God will reveal His will if we'll seek Him. If we'll earnestly seek Him. That's how I got saved. I read in the Bible, you've got to be born again. Young people, you've got to be born again to go to heaven. If you're not born of the Spirit, you'll go to hell. You might be the best sinner that ever went to hell. How did I get faith? I prayed every night, oh God, I want to be born again. I want to be born again. I wasn't getting saved. I wanted to be. Didn't know, but I wasn't sure God wanted me to be born again. See, unless you know God's will, you don't have faith. But eventually I went to a place where they preached the gospel. And that day God delivered faith to me on a silver platter. I had so much faith, God said, I want you to publicly receive me. That's what the preacher was saying. You can receive Him. That's what the Bible says in 1st chapter of John. To as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. I've been trying to get God to receive me, but He said, I want you to receive me in front of all these people. And I knew that if I did that, I'd be saved. I had so much faith, it was just delivered to me. I knew God's will. I could receive Him. I could be born again, but I'd have to stand up publicly. And the devil said, don't do it. Put it off. You could do it later. You'll be embarrassed. See, I had a choice. So even when God reveals His will, you still have a choice. You can take the faith or not take it. But if you take it, you'll have to release it through your words or corresponding action. So I prayed, oh God, forgive me for my sins. Jesus, come into my heart. And I stood as a public testimony. I was receiving Him. And that's how I acted on the faith. And whew, I got saved. I got born again. The Spirit rushed through me and filled me with intense joy. When I wanted to be healed in my teenage years, I searched the Bible 3 hours a night saying, will you forgive me? Will you heal me? And I got healed when I received the knowledge of God's will. How do you get filled with the Spirit? How do you get filled with the baptism of the Spirit? Listen. How do you get filled with the Spirit and speak in tongues? You have to be completely convinced it's God's will to give it to you. If you go to the altar and say, pray for me, I hope it happens to me, you're not ready. But when you're convinced it's God's will, the faith is on a silver platter. It's yours to take. Then you say, lay hands on me, Brother Wes, and I will be filled with the Spirit. And wham, it happens. Just very quickly, of course it's God's will to fill you with the Spirit. You all need to be filled with the Spirit. God has made you worthy through Jesus to be filled. He's worthy of you being filled. He's worthy of empowered service, empowered worship, and empowered prayer. When you're not filled with the Spirit, you don't have enough power to give back to Him. And when they worship God in heaven, they always say, to Him be the glory and the power. To Him be glory, honor, and power. To Him be glory, honor, praise, and power. They never leave power out. To Him be wisdom, wealth, strength, glory, honor, praise, and power. They never leave power out. Power is the first one. I said, how come they never leave power out? The Holy Spirit said, I'm worthy of empowered. God spoke to me. I'm worthy of empowered prayer, empowered service, empowered worship. God's worthy of you being baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now, what about speaking in tongues? Just look in the Bible and you'll be convinced of God's will. When they got filled, they all spoke in tongues. All 120. God didn't leave one out and fill 119 and have them speak in tongues. And one poor guy saying, well, I got filled, but I just don't speak in tongues. Just get your faith through the knowledge of God's will right there in His Word. When the men of Ephesus got filled, they all spoke in tongues. When the Spirit fell on Cornelius' household, they all spoke in tongues. When God fills people with the Spirit, He gives them the ability to pray in a new language they don't know. Why? That's so your spirit can utter mysteries, because you don't know what to ask God for. Half the time or more than half the time, you don't even know. You got a mess, that's all you know. And you don't know how to tell Him to fix it. But when you pray with the will of pray in the Spirit, you're praying in the mind and will of God. That makes it so effective. That's why Paul said, he who speaks in a tongue doesn't speak to men. He speaks to God. No one understands Him, for He utters mysteries in His Spirit. You've got to have that ability to pray through to the mysterious answers. What an advantage people have when they can pray several hours in tongues and then suddenly know what to do. Mysteries are prayed through. Hallelujah. So, is God going to fill you? On the day of Pentecost, they were all speaking in tongues, and they bubbled out into the street, and a big crowd gathered, and Peter said, "Repent, every one of you, and be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is for you, and it's for your kids, and it's for all who are far off." That would include Meriden, Kansas. "To as many as the Lord our God shall call." Put your hand over your heart and say, "The promise is for me." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Believe the word of God. There's faith delivered to you on a platter. Go ahead and take it. And then you can say, "Brother Wes, lay hands on me. I will receive because the promise is for me. Jesus has made me worthy to receive." You see how faith comes? Now you got to release it. You got to act. When you're convinced that God wants to heal you, the Bible says, "Let the ones that sick call for the elders of the church to anoint them with oil." Don't wait for the pastor to come to you. Don't stay home and say, "Oh, I'm sick. Pastor should know that I'm sick by the word of knowledge and come anoint me with oil. But nobody's calling me. I guess I'm just not loved." It's your business to do the calling. You're the one that's supposed to activate the faith. And you activate the faith by saying, "Pastor, I know it's God's will to heal me. Would you come over and anoint me with oil?" Amen. Praise the name of Jesus. Well, I got to wrap this thing up somehow. I'm excited. I'm not worried. I'm excited. Why? Because I can build a relationship with God, and God can reveal His will to me. And if I know His will, now I know how to release it. All I got to do is have the revelation of His will. And I know how to release faith. Amen. I don't have to worry about anything. I just want to build a relationship with God. Praise God. All right, let me begin to close. Hallelujah. How do you get God to reveal His will? Well, one way, you can just read the Word and get to know Him. All right? You pray and ask God questions and inquire. Sometimes He'll speak to you and give you the answer. You be sensitive to the inner witness of the Holy Spirit, because sometimes you can just become convinced through your relationship with God, an inner knowing, "I believe God wants this to happen." Then you're ready to release the faith. That happened to me when it came time to sell that miracle house in Goshen, Oregon. Jimmy Carter was president. Interest rates were 21.5%. There were thousands of houses on the market. The housing market had collapsed. And I was convinced God wanted us to move to Omaha, Nebraska and Pioneer Church. How was I convinced of that? Just through the inner witness and through much prayer. And I put my house up for sale, and a realtor came by and he said, "I do have an offer on your house. A lady wants to put $14,000 down and have you carry the rest at 11% interest. You'll have to finance it yourself." He said, "There's so many houses on the market, I haven't had any offer. This is a good offer. Very few people have $14,000. You better take this offer." I said, "Let me think about it. I want to pray about it." And I prayed, and I prayed. I didn't hear the voice of God. But in my spirit, I became convinced that I needed to cash out of that house so I could move to Omaha and assume an existing loan, because I was going to Pioneer Church. I didn't want to argue with the banker that I'd be able to pay the loan. I wanted to assume a loan where I didn't have to argue with anybody. I knew God helped me pay it. So I came back and told that realtor, "I'm going to turn this offer down. It's not what I've asked God for." And he just about died. He hadn't had any paycheck in so long. He was the saddest looking realtor when he walked away. But 2 days later, just a few days later, God sent a GI that said, "I want to buy this house and I have to hurry because the federal government's going to raise the interest rates 2 percentage points on the GI loan." And he got an interest loan at 6%. And the loan was going through, and he discovered dry rot under the kitchen sink and said, "We won't even turn it in. I'll fix it myself after the loan goes in." That's a miracle. And it cashed out, and it moved to Omaha and had enough money to assume an existing loan. Put down $18,500 and assumed a loan for 7.5% interest. You see, it's not the economy that's the thing you got to be concerned about. Are you building your relationship with God enough to know Him personally, enough to get a revelation of His will? When you know Him, that's why you don't just seek faith. You don't just seek to get things. Don't just seek His hand. Seek His face. Seek to know Him. Seek to be intimate with Him. Because when you know Him, you just get to know what He wants, what His will is. And then you can release faith and receive all kinds of things. Hallelujah. Now, there's a connection between having faith and pleasing God. A very strong connection. Jesus could say, I knew you always hear me, and then raise Lazarus from the dead. Because He also said, I always do what pleases Him. You see, folks, pull with me in the Spirit. I'm just about done. I have so much in my heart. I'm trying to get it out right. Why is there a connection between faith and pleasing God? Because faith is the revelation of God's will. But when you want to please God, you want to do His will. And you delight in doing His will. The Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. Or the Bible says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. You want to please God. Now, I want to please Him day and night, night and day. I want to please Him in big things and little things. I want to believe Him in secret things and public things. I want to please Him in my inner words, the words I speak and the words I speak in my heart. And in life and death things. And I've got scriptures for all that. Hallelujah. Now, I don't have any more points. I've skipped over everything else. I just want to bring it to the right conclusion. So let's just be real sensitive to the Spirit of God. While you were worshiping, I was just weeping, thinking, what could I do for God? What great things could I do for His glory? If I spent more time seeking Him to know His will, I would get supernatural faith to where I could maybe go on the radio nationally. Maybe the books that I want to give away to pastors, if I spent more time seeking Him for the knowledge of His will, He'd tell me which businessman would help me to give the books away. He did that once. Once I had a soul-winning book, and Bernard Johnson told me he'd put it in Brazil and give it away in his crusades, put it in Portuguese. And I said, I hung up the phone and I said, God, where am I going to get the money? And God spoke to me and gave me the knowledge of His will on a platter and said, there is a man. I rejoiced and I said, who is he? God said, David Burdine. I had met David Burdine. He owns several hundred nursing homes and is in charge of the Bethesda Foundation. Now, I knew what that man would do, because I had a knowledge of God's will delivered to me. I still had to release the faith. I called him on the phone and said, God told me you'd give me money to put my book in Portuguese for Dr. Bernard Johnson. And this very important man said, I don't know who you are, but I know Bernard Johnson. I'll call him on the phone. If he wants your book, I'll give him the money. And he gave him $5,000, and 20,000 of my book was printed. Now, think of the miracles that aren't happening because we're not building our intimate relationship with God. See, faith is not just something we do to get goodies. Faith comes from an intimate love relationship. That's why Moses, God said, I'll do the very thing you ask because I know you by name and I'm pleased with you. Moses said, show me your ways that I may please you. There's such a connection. Just love God. Just want to please Him. Want to do His will. Delight in doing His will all the time. Big things, little things, night things, day things. Public things, private things, life and death things. Just always want to please Him. Paul said we make it our goal to please Him. Why did Paul have great faith? He loved to do the will of God. When you love to do the will of God, God reveals His will to you. You can say, I don't do the will of God. I just want to pull the levers and have God be a genie in the bottle. I want to rub the bottle, tell the genie what to do. You'll never have faith. There's unlimited faith for anybody that says, I just want to know Him. I want to please Him. I want to obey Him.
And I don't have to worry about anything, because if he gives me the revelation of his will, I'll have spectacular supernatural faith, and then I'll just release it, and any type of miracle can happen. So since that is so, I'm challenging you today. Why don't you really press in and seek to intimately know God and be his friend? And when he reveals the knowledge of his will to you, you can be healed, you can be filled, your marriage can be healed, you can have one prosperity miracle after another. You can do exploits. One of the ways God reveals his will to me is through the gifts of the Spirit. When I pray for people, I feel signals through the anointing. I just got to tell you one story, and then, brother, I'm going to quit. I get anointing in my feet sometimes. And when I'm praying for somebody, if I pray right on top of the will of God, sometimes the anointing will just flash in my foot like, that's it, that's it. And it's like a signal. You're right on top of the revelation. So Burley, Idaho, I was praying for people to be healed, and this little Hispanic lady came to me. And I took my shoes off. Usually I have my shoes off when I pray for people in case I feel that powerful anointing in my feet. Because then I'll put my foot on them, and man, I've had a lot of people supernaturally healed. This little Hispanic lady said, "Brother West, pray for me," she whispered. "I need to be delivered of gluttony." And I started to pray, and I felt checked in the inner witness. And I said, "Are you under some great emotional turmoil?" She said, "My son died 8 years ago. And I've been overeating ever since he died." And then in my heart, I just sensed that her problem wasn't gluttony, it was sorrow. And I began to pray a scripture from the book of Isaiah. And I said, "Oh God, pour the oil of joy on this sister. Oh Father, put the garment of praise on this sister. Put a crown of beauty on her head." And the anointing began to just bolt out of my right foot. And I put my foot on her, cold-cocked her, knocked her to the ground. And she hit the floor laughing in spiritual laughter with the sorrow blown out of her. I thought that was pretty cool. On my way back to the airport the next morning, I was saying, "Wasn't that neat how that lady, you know," and I was telling the story. And the pastor's wife said, "Brother Wes, you don't know the end of the story. When she got up, she came to me and showed me her shoe and where you'd put your foot and where the power went through your foot into her. It had melted the top of her shoe." Melted it in the size of a quarter. I don't know why God melted her shoe. Don't be afraid that I'll melt your shoes today. I believe it was just a sign of his goodness to her that the sad days are over. God is good. He can turn every problem you have into a blessing and a miracle. Just pursue an intimate, wonderful relationship with him and seek to know his will. Pray for your kids. "Oh God, fill us all. Fill my whole family with the knowledge of your will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding." Hallelujah. And when the will is delivered, when the faith is delivered on that platter, take it and release it. When he names it, you claim it. Now let's close our eyes in the presence of the Lord. Now, you can get enough faith from what I'm saying this morning. Jesus wants you. He doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to be his very own. He died and paid the price so you could be saved. Now, he gives you the faith to receive him with, and you'll sense a drawing in your heart to come to Christ. And you'll know in your heart that if you do, God's going to forgive you for your sins and put his eternal life in your heart. He reveals his will to you by the Spirit, by a drawing and a pulling you're sensing in your heart. If I come to him, he'll save me. He'll forgive me. That's right. He's given you the faith to receive him right now. Now, you need to seize that faith. He's naming it by saying, "I want to save you. I want to forgive you." You got to claim it and say, "All right, dear Lord, I'm going to receive your salvation. I'm going to receive you." In a moment, I'm going to ask for hands of people that want to receive the gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of your sins, and have the implantation of his very nature into your spirit. And then you're going to pray a prayer and stand up publicly, because you've got to claim it. That's how you claim it. As soon as you publicly admit that you received him, he'll announce your name to all the angels of heaven, announce that you belong to him. Then I'm going to turn the service to the pastor, and after an offering, I'm going to say, now, you know what? If you need more faith, you seek God till you get it. But if you already have a great stirring in your heart that God wants to heal you, or that God wants to fill you with the Holy Spirit, come on up. If God's already revealed His will to you and you have this knowing, claim it. Let those who doubt go to the altar and pray till you know the will of God. But let those who have faith move on it and receive. Every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to say, are you right with Jesus? Are you pursuing your relationship with Him? How many would raise their hand today and say, I want to have Jesus forgive me for my sins and put His nature inside of me and save me and make me His very own? Slip your hand up all over the auditorium. How many would pray that prayer with me today? Hallelujah. Here's a lady right here. How many others? All right. How many would feel like you need to really rededicate your life to Christ this morning? You've strayed away from Him, but you want to come back. You know it's the will of God to just totally renew your faith. How many of you would just slip up your hands? All right, there's more of you. Okay. Now we're going to pray a prayer, and then I'm going to have you just stand as a public testimony that you've made this great decision to receive Christ or to completely rededicate yourself to Him. We're going to have other people just look around and witness your decision and then get up and hug you. So everybody else get ready to give somebody a hug, okay? Because we're in it together. God doesn't save you to isolate you. He saves you to make you part of His family. And we're family. All right, pray this with me. Let's all pray it. Say, Heavenly Father, I come to You in Jesus' name. I know it's Your will to save me. You said You're not willing that any should perish, but rather that all should live. I believe that Jesus has paid for my sin and risen from the dead. Lord Jesus, I open the door of my heart. I receive You. Come in. Take over. Thank You. I know You're doing it. And I praise You for putting Your nature inside of me. I'm Yours. You're mine. Let's do life together. Now joyfully stand those that raised your hands. You're the ones that I want you to stand while Jesus announces your decision. You're coming back to Christ. You're receiving Him for the first time. Stand up. If you raised your hands, stand up quickly. Why? Because Jesus is going to announce that rededication, or He's going to announce that. Hallelujah. All right. Thank You, Lord. Now, everybody look around and go hug one of those people. Jump up right now. Be my fellow ministers. Say, I'm your brother. I'm your sister. We're in it together. Anytime you need prayer, you give me a call on the phone. Now, but we're not dismissed yet, so in a moment, I'll have you sit back down. But first of all, I want Joe to hug those people all around. Now, in this service, I think it's very important that those of you who are going through some great crisis, but you're not sure what the will of God is, you've got to devote yourself and make a decision that you're going to seek God in His Word and seek Him intimately until you're filled with the knowledge of His will. Take responsibility to know His will. It's not God's responsibility just to show you His will. It's your will to seek Him. And the Bible says He rewards those who earnestly seek Him. Now, we're going to just sit real still. Just real still for a minute, and I want those who are in great crisis mode. You say, I know I have a great crisis, but I really don't know what to do. I don't feel like I have the faith to overcome this thing. I want you to make a decision and come kneel somewhere around here in these chairs, or just kneel up here and sit and make a devotion to God. I'm going to seek You passionately. See, many times in my life I've been in such desperate shape. I didn't have the faith, but I made a determination. I'm going to go get the faith. How many would get up out of your chair right now and say, I'm not even sure I have the faith, but I'm going to go get it. Get up right now and come make that dedication to God. That's going to make a huge difference in your life. Come on. Come on, I expect there's a lot of people, if you'd be real honest, you'd say, that's where I'm at, Brother Wes, and I'm making that decision. Good. You make that decision, the miracle's just about 50% done. 51%. You're on your way. Hallelujah. How many more would say, you know what? I'm not going to lollygag around and go through my life not knowing the will of God. Does he want to do it? Doesn't he want to do it? If you don't know, you come and say, I'm going to seek him. Everybody that's in that position, you need to come make that decision. Now, those of you that are absolutely convinced that God wants to do a miracle already, Pastor, I want you to come stand here with me, and we're going to pray for people today. I don't know how many will come, but if you're convinced that this good, loving God wants to heal your body, or heal your heart of some emotional wound, or fill you with the Holy Spirit, it's time for you to claim it. Jump right up and come right up here. Hallelujah. Come on. How many of you have some miracle you want prayer for and you want to claim it today? The Bible says if any two of you agree is touching anything you ask, it shall be done for you. Everybody stand to your feet. Hallelujah. Except the ones in the altar that are kneeling. All right? Now you're saying, I'm going to believe God. I'm going to believe God. I believe God wants to do this. I believe. Come on. Line right up across the front here. Everybody that wants prayer for something, and you're going to believe God. Not a maybe thing. You're saying, I'm locking in. I'm. He has named it already. I'm claiming it. Come on, line right up across the front. I felt like the Holy Spirit said, let those that have faith come and claim whatever they want. Let those that aren't sure devote themselves to get faith. They'll get their miracle pretty soon as they're filled with the knowledge of God's will. How many other people? You're ready to release faith. Come right across the front. Could I have the leadership, your pastor, your board and their wives come help me so that it won't take so long to pray for people? And I'll be here to pray for anybody who wants to stay. But right now, it's Jesus going to answer your prayer. And the two of you can agree, and it's going to be done in the name of Jesus. The miracle is going to happen because Jesus is spiritual, not because Brother Wes is so spiritual, but because Jesus is spiritual, the Holy Spirit's going to glorify the name of Jesus. All right, now if you're one of those spiritual leaders and you came to help, come around here and stand by the pastor and so you can go to people. All right? Hallelujah.